to the broadcast. We finally made it to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start there in verse number 1. Have your Bible ready. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples in John 15, verse number 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also."
It may mean no loved one with whom you can share. It may mean no finery like others wear, but surely the lilies are clothed by his care. Should the servant be more than his master? It may mean rejection by friends through the years. It may mean some lonely nights praying in tears, but surely his peace will erase all your fears. Should the servant be more than his master? King had no mansion, he sat on no throne. As a friend of the friendless, my master was known. And he died as he lived for the lost souls of men. Should the servant be more than his master? It may mean a home in the midst of the wild. It may mean the lack or the loss of a child. But his grace is sufficient, his love more abounds. For he knows every tear, he's the torture and bruise. It may mean a pathway that you'd never choose, but God, his dear children, will never abuse. Should the servant be more than his master? My King
Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. First of all, he says, and you hath he quickened. You. It's very personal. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you. You'll find the word you 20 times in the book of Ephesians. You'll find the word ye another 44 times in this book. Us 17 times, and we another 16 times. In other words, it's very personal. 121 times Jesus said, I say unto you. This is written for you. Years ago, I was telling Bible stories to children, young children, and our daughter at that time was about 4, maybe 5 years old. And I said to these young people that were there, and she was included in this group, I said, if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have come and died on the cross for you exactly as he did. When we got home, she said, Daddy, if I was the only person in the world, who would have nailed him to the cross? I said, you would have nailed him to the cross. You already did. It was your sin that put him there. He died for you. Well, Deborah understood that, and she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And the first thing she did after that was she went and got her little brother. She took him in the bathroom, locked the door, sat him down on the floor, and said, now you need to get saved. By the way, anyone who is genuinely saved, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to tell other people about the Lord. Well, as Paul sits in his dungeon there, and he's writing back to these Christians, and he says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You hath he quickened. Quickened means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, you tell somebody out there in this world that they're dead, they'll think you're crazy. I'm not dead. I got up this morning. I went to work. I came home tonight and do everything in between. I go grocery shopping. I drive the car. I'm not dead. Well, we're talking spiritually here. The Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. His image, he's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made a Trinity. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, man is very much alive in his body, in his soul, that's his mind as well, and his emotions very much alive there. But Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, he said. It's not physical, it is spiritual. And so we're a body, we're a soul, mind, will, and emotions, but there's that spiritual part, and that spiritual part is dead. And though we are alive in our physical being, we are living in trespasses and in sins. Now, Jesus said, you're dead. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. But he also said in John 5 and 40, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. You might have life. So he says to these Ephesians who were saved, who had come unto the Lord and would have life, he said, you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. What's the difference? Trespasses and sins. Well, no doubt you've seen a sign one time or another says no trespassing. Trespassing is simply going in a forbidden territory. You see, the sign says no trespassing. You're not allowed to come in here. God has all kinds of no trespassing signs, but unsaved people say, I don't care what God has to say. I'm going to go where I want to go. And so they are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, sin simply means missing the mark. When you miss the mark, you're a sinner. Now, he said, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in time past ye walked. What is a walk? It is a slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction. Now, the word walk here is used metaphorically, and in life, we are going in a predetermined direction. That is, we choose. We are free will agents. We can choose whatever we want to do. We can't choose the consequences of our choices, but we can choose to do what we want. Well, the unsaved world, they walk according to, the word means as stated by, according to the course of this world. What is a course? It is the direction, it is the way in which someone is developing, or it is a procedure, it is an established way of doing something. And so unsafe people are going to do what they do. They're going to go in direction of the way of the world. Not only that, the prince of the power of the air. What is a prince? That word has been translated ruler 22 times. Power has been translated authority 29 times. And so it talks about the ruler of the power of the air. Now, it refers to the fact that the devil and his demons, they live in the atmospheric air around us. But it also, if you look at it today, we talk about airwaves. You look at the television industry, you look at the radio industry, you look at the internet industry, you look at any way at whatsoever that the influences are going out there. And where's the authority there? Where's the ruler there? The Bible says the devil is the prince, the ruler, the power of the air. It also says the spirit that now worketh, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. In contrast to that, we have Ephesians 3:20, where we as Christians walk according to the power that worketh in us. And so he talks about a walk, the slow, steady progress in a predetermined direction. And the work is an activity, something we are involved in, an effort to achieve something. John 8 and verse number 44, Jesus said, "Ye are of the father of the devil, and the lusts or the desires of your father ye will do." Walking according to the power of the Lord, or according to the power of the prince of the power of this air. We're going to work our activities, we're going to be involved in the things of the Lord. Or as Jesus said to those unsaved religious hypocrites of his day, "Dear of your father the devil, and the desires of your father ye will do." And so let me read the verse again. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We find the word children in the Bible 1,814 times, and Paul used the word children 9 times in this book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 2:2, we read the children of disobedience. In Ephesians 2:3, the children of wrath. Ephesians 5:6, the children of disobedience again. Now, every child has a father. And Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts or the desires of your father ye will do." But in Ephesians 5:8, he talks about the children of light. Every child has a father. And of course, God is referred to as our father. And our father looks after his children. Therefore, we read in verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." What a phrase, "but God." It's found in the Bible 43 times. We'll look at it in our next program. Well, he said here in verse number 5, "By grace are ye saved."
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall see. But oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace, and I shall will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in There's now a place in heaven for me, and I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, "Well done," and I shall enter into rest, and I shall see to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved.